act or the little act of praying is a follow through of what happens in your heart. Amen. So in that same manner, prayerlessness is a matter of the heart. Amen. That's quite a heavy statement. Prayerlessness is a matter of the heart. When you want to solve prayerlessness, it is not like going to the gym, it's not like exercising, where the more you subject yourself to prayer meetings and prayer spaces, then you become a prayerful person. Okay? And that's why most of the time, minus the congregational worship services or sessions that we have as a people, we do not pray. Okay? I was looking at you so that I can see something. And then I made that statement. No, I looked at all of us. Minus Sunday service, minus Monday service, minus the two Tuesdays in a month that we come. For those who attend any other fellowship, minus those fellowships, we do not pray. Because no matter how hard or how much we attend fellowships, even if we attend fellowships every single day, Monday through Friday, if we do not solve the issue of prayer in the heart, then we do not become prayerful people. We just become members of congregations that do pray. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why I emphasize that if you live in Juja, come for prayers in the morning. Come for prayers in the morning. Because it is also through those sessions that a lifestyle of prayer is rubbed on you. Amen. Have you ever heard of this statement? Relationship problems are solved in relationships. You've heard of that. Okay, now hear it. Relationship problems are solved in relationships. Every time you've had a problem in a relationship and ended that relationship, whatever relationship it is, whether it was a friendship, whether it was whatever relationship, until you come back into relationship, then that problem cannot be solved. The problems of prayerlessness can only be solved where? Can only be solved where? Come on, can only be solved where? In prayer. So, in as much as subjecting yourself to prayer, it's good. Subjecting yourself to prayer meetings, admit them. In as much as subjecting yourself to prayer meetings will not make you a prayerful person, but it is only in times of prayer that the heart is conditioned to pray. Amen. And we will see that, we will look at that when we come and look at different forms of prayer and different Yeah, different forms of prayer. The reason you can attend so many prayer meetings and end up not being prayerful is because during those prayer meetings, you only pray one form of prayer. Okay? You only pray one form of prayer, or the emphasis in prayer is one form of prayer, and that form of prayer does not condition your heart. It is not the form of prayer that conditions your heart to become prayerful. We will look at that when we talk about the forms of prayer or types of prayers, whatever we will call it at that point. Okay? But now that we are talking about the heart, one very important thing that we need to look at. We looked at love. We looked at faith. There's not much to talk about hope. Not that has been revealed to me at the moment. But as we are dealing with the heart, we have to learn to guard our hearts. That is what we want to talk about today. Guarding your heart. Man has, how many faculties does man have? How many faculties does man have? Mm-hmm. Vanessa? Three. Name them. Spirit, soul, and body. Uh-huh. What do you think?
I know three.
You know three. That's a better answer. What's your name?
Anne.
I can't hear you.
Anne.
Oh. What's your name? I can find your name. Like, you were saying, I don't know. Okay. Just come up. The two of you move. So, man has three faculties: spirit, soul, and body. Where does the heart come? Yes.
Center of spirit and soul.
Center of spirit and soul. Okay. And what do you think? You know you have a body, right? Yeah. That is for sure, right? Do you think you are your body? You don't think you are your body. That's fine. So who are you? The soul, maybe the soul.
Okay.
What about the spirit? I can't hear you. We can't hear you. You think the soul is? You think the spirit is?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. There is no wrong answer for a grown up. You're grown up, right? What do you think the heart is? Where does the heart come in? It's the soul.
Like a mix
of all three. Including the body. No, we're not talking about biology. When you guys live here, do you guys study? Among your encyclopedia. Whatever I say goes there. Like FIFA thing and do you guys study? Do you guys study? Like do you guys go and search out things for yourself? So that's a no.
Okay.
What does God save? Why is God interested in soul? You have an emotional spirit. But yes. I told you last week, I cannot fully define the heart. Data. I told you, right? But what gets born again is the heart. What gets born again is the heart of man. Your soul is renewed. Your soul is renewed. And that's why we have the Word of God that renews your soul. So, your soul is up, put together your thoughts, your thoughts. And when your soul is renewed, it is renewed to the stature of what? What?
Christ.
What of Christ? Of the Word. What do you think? It is renewed to the stature of the mind of Christ. Who is the mind of Christ? Come on. You know him. What? The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ. Okay? Okay? Are we together? So your spirit is rejuvenated. And the reason for the rejuvenation of your spirit is that the Holy Spirit can have room. Okay? Can have room. We'll talk about that sometime. If we ever talk about it. But the heart is the center of man. The heart is the center of man. The heart is the throne of man. The heart is what we constantly submit to God. A constant submission and a constant yielding of our hearts to God provides or opens us up for the move of the Spirit. It opens us up for the infinite nature of possibilities of the Spirit of God. So, again, your heart is somewhat a mixture of it. I'll have to study that and then see if it makes sense from what people have studied and then even pray some more. But guarding your heart becomes very pivotal to achieving a lifestyle of prayer. It becomes very pivotal, it becomes very important to achieving a lifestyle of prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Proverbs. We'll read so many scriptures today. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 3. Are we there? Proverbs chapter 3. Have you read?
Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my command. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you.
Okay. My son, do not forget my law. You see, most of the time, when scripture begins to talk about forgetting or remembering, where we miss out, is because of our natural education. So when he talks about do not forget my law, what do you think he's talking about? What do you think he's talking about? Say?
The brain.
Uh-huh. Come on, guys.
Memory.
What? I can't hear you. Practice. That's not our education. Most of the time, we miss it out where we think the scripture is referring to our ability to retain information. So when he says, my son, do not forget my law, subconsciously or even consciously, we immediately go to what it is we do remember. Okay? You see, that your memory it's a good place to work from. It's a good place to work from. But then again, it's a soulish place to work from. That when you work out of your memory, then the word does not enlighten you. It does not enlighten the parts of you that needs to be enlightened. Are we together? Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? No, please. Are you understanding me? It's okay to say no. You're not understanding me, right? So why are you shaking your head? Like, if you don't understand me, just say, hey, I don't understand. Okay? This is it. The word of God, okay, is not this. This is not the word of God. I can lack tissue paper when I am in need somewhere. I can pluck off pages and use it, and I will not be doing anything to the word of God. You understand? So when you read it and it is contained in your mind, in your memory, in using the same faculty you use to pass your exams, then that word does not enlighten you. It is of no use to you. So basically, when he says, "My son, do not forget my commandments," and then he read, what does it say? But let your heart keep my command. Meaning you have to learn how the word begins to affect your heart. Okay? So it's not a matter of, I know John 3:16. I remember what it says. So that when I pray using the word. No. When the word remains here, when the word remains here, okay? Because this is the faculty that helps us hear, learn, blah, blah. When the word remains here and does not drop to the heart, then it does not do what it is intended to do. So the question is, how do we learn to work from the heart? Okay? How do we learn to work from the heart? As I said yesterday, God is not emotional. And God is not logical. He does not apply emotion. He does not apply logic. Okay? He does not apply emotion. He does not apply logic. So, in the same way, women would pray from an emotional standpoint, men would approach God from a logical point of view. And that does not work. So, when we read the word, because these are literally the two faculties of the soul, logic and emotions, that drive you to win. So, if I am logical, my will be logic driven. If I'm emotional, my will be emotionally driven. Okay? So, the word comes to the heart. And when the word comes to the heart, which is the center of mind, the heart is where you make, the heart is where you make decisions. The heart is where you love from. The heart is what makes you laugh or cry. Okay? You understand? So when the heart is sorted, then your emotions will be in check and your logic will be in check, and whatever you will to do will be what? In check. So when he says, "My son, do not forget my commands." And?
"My son, do not forget my law."
Do not forget my law.
"But let your heart keep my commands."
And let your heart keep my commands. Then it means that there is a section of me That section that has been born again, that requires me to always see that the word of God is deposited in it, so that I can become as the word says. And that's why we have to guard this heart. This heart that we are having difficulty defining. But before the end of this, we will know what the heart is, okay? I want you to know that every time you read scripture and you see these three words, heart, soul, and spirit, you have to really study to understand what it means. Because they are used interchangeably. Like at a point, you talk about my soul give praise to the Lord. And at that time, he's talking about your heart. Okay? So these three words are used constantly and interchangeably to mean either spirit, to mean soul, or to mean heart. So when you are reading scripture, look further into it so that you can be able to understand what that text is saying. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. There is that part of you that is not your memory, is not your mind. Okay? Best explanation. How many have experienced a deja vu? How many know what a deja vu is? How many do not know what a deja vu is? Please. So you have not experienced it, you don't know what it is, and you also don't, like, who does not know what a deja vu is? I'll explain it to you and then you'll see you know. Oye, bana. And, uko tu sawa. Awa watu, nimekana wao, si machobi. You know what a deja vu is? Please explain it to us, because you didn't raise up your hand. Teresa, you don't know what a deja vu is? Dan?
Deja vu, maybe enye najua si hiyo.
Explain hiyo enye unajua.
Okay, enye najua ni mvumo wa kibaridi. Like strong. Hiyo ndio deja vu.
Ati hiyo ni nini?
Okay, like strong, especially strong feeling, like it correlated like strong emotion, strong feeling. Siko compared na hiyo mfumo wa kibaridi kali. Upepo.
Tunaweza ongea baadaye. Maybe you know something I don't. A deja vu is like reliving a moment. Like you step into a place and everything looks familiar, as though you have ever been in that place before. Ama, someone begins to talk and every conversation after that really sounds like you had that conversation. And when you begin to actually remember it clearly, I've been here before, I've seen you, you are dressed like that, this person and the next. And if you are very good at deja vu, you can tell what the next person will say next. Okay? Now you get it? You've experienced that? You have? Okay. Koshua. So you see, that is not, it's not memory, because memory is things past. Like memory is basically history. Yes? We don't have memory of the future. You do not have memory of what tomorrow looks like because you have not been in tomorrow. So your mind is basically numb when it comes to the things that have not happened. But at times, you remember things as they are happening, as though you have ever been there, which is not a function of your mind. It's a function of two things. Your spirit and your heart.
Wow. Leo the got you out.
Your spirit lives in a space that is not time contained. Meaning, there is no time, there is no distance in your spirit. That's why you can have a dream, and after 3 days, whatever you dreamt of, that's what happens. Okay? That's why you can think about someone whom you have not seen for 5 years, and when you move to the next street, you do what? You meet them. So there is no distance and there is no time for the spirit. It even becomes better when your spirit is conditioned to function with the spirit of God. Are we together? So, when it comes to the word of God, because the word of God is spirit, when we begin to read it as spirit, then the letters in the book are revealed to us as though they are alive. And that's why it's very difficult to read this book and understand it without the mind of Christ. Okay, and now the mind of Christ places you in a position where your heart, because the mind of Christ continually speaks to your heart, like you have received, in fact the motion is you have received Christ, and then what happens in your heart begins to transform your mind to the mind of Christ. So every rejuvenation, the joy that is unexplainable, what does the scripture say? He will give the joy that is, my memory fails me. There's that scripture that talks about joy that is humanly unexplainable. Elias. Peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So when it talks about understanding there, it's not talking about the understanding of the heart. It is talking about the understanding of human minds. So God gives you peace. Where does that peace go? It comes to your heart. Though your mind lives in a world where it's trouble, then in your heart there is peace. And when this peace is in your heart, this peace now begins to renew your mind so that the trouble that faces you does not distort you. We're talking about guarding your heart. guarding your heart. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Are we together now? The heart is the throne of man. It is the throne of man. And that's why we secure ourselves from everything that distorts our heart. Because when our heart is distorted, then our minds cannot be renewed. Because the rejuvenation is here. The revival is here. It is the heart of man that died when he sinned. And when the heart of man died when he sinned, he stopped receiving of the intelligence of heaven. And that's where we began to degrade in our mental capacity. Okay? Together? Together? Almost coming together? These are very simple concepts. These are elementary concepts. You understand what I'm saying? This is kindergarten Christianity. Okay? Because why I say it's elementary is because these are things you learn first, so that when you read the word, it transforms your heart. It goes to your heart and then to your mind. Now it begins to transform your mind and you begin to think differently. You begin to see things differently. Your physical senses become transformed because your mind thinks differently. Okay? You know, you see the things, you see things the way you see them depending on how intellectual you are. Have you ever known that? That wewe na mimi tukiona vumbi tunaona nini? Uchafu. But kuna mtu akiona vumbi anaona kazi because of their intellectual disposition. And the word of God has the ability to raise your intellect. Salvation has the ability to raise your intellect so that you begin to see things from a different please. Okay, let me give you an example. Adam. You understand how creation happens. Genesis 1. So God creates all these things and then on the seventh day he creates what? Man. Oh, sixth day. Sixth day he creates man? Man. Okay? On the sixth day he creates man. Do you know up until the sixth day when man was created, nothing was there. Because now man becomes the first manifestation of what? Of what? Of what? Come on, guys. He creates light, he creates birds, he creates all these things. And then he says that he created all these things, but there was no one to take care of them, so he did not make them be. And now he made man. And after he has made man, now things begin to grow. But man would not be made fast because there would be nothing to sustain him. He works in reverse. So he creates everything that you will need and then creates you last. But you become first so that you can till and take care of everything that he has created. So when Adam begins to name things,
He does not name them. How do I explain this? He names them from how God looks at them. Because his intellectual ability at that time was God's intellectual ability. Sio kasa hii. Ukiona kitu unaweza ini nini, like hii nini, but because you have left the disposition of knowing all things. So now we walk back where his word comes to our heart, we are saved. And then his word begins now to enlighten us to come to a place of knowing what? All things.
Why it's become more difficult? And I thought it would be. Thought it was one of those service. Let's grab the heart and then we're out.
So the place where the word of God goes to when you read it, when you study it, is the heart. It can become more it becomes more confusing because we are used to, we have educated our minds. Okay? We have educated our minds. And because we have educated our minds, we don't know how to channel things to the heart. It takes us longer to learn to channel the things of the spirit to the heart. The spirit of God, the spirit of man, is the candle of God, searching the inner parts of his being, his heart.
Let's stand up.
Stretch a bit.
It's still like a man class.
We're together? Okay, let's sit down. Why I insist on us to meditate every Wednesday, which we have not been doing. Why I insist on us to meditate, to take time and meditate on the word every Wednesday, which we have not been doing, is because when we come to listen, it is default that this will take center stage. And that's why this is becoming difficult, because this is taking center stage. But after you've heard and not understood, when you are meditating, it's when these things are revealed to you, because at that time you have opened up your heart to receive. So you do not meditate from here, again, it will become difficult. Because meditation is a process of faith, and that's why I taught faith as the first thing. Because all these things are received by what? Faith. By faith. By faith. So your heart must be layered and layered and layered and layered and layered and layered with faith for you to obtain results in the kingdom of God. Because certain things you will never understand. No matter how well it is explained to you, you will never understand it. But when it is received from the heart, progressively, your mind now opens up to a realm that is higher than it. And that's why the word is very difficult to explain. That's why when you're not born again, when two believers are standing, one that has yielded to the Spirit of God and has allowed the Spirit to teach them, it is very hard to understand, to explain Scripture to a believer who just reads Scripture. Because now when we read it, we will now stop doing certain things. We will stop eating meat. We will, because that's what we are reading. But we do not understand it. Are we together? So when your heart is taken over by the word, now faith begins to build again and again and again, and faith is layered and layered. And now these commandments and these laws that we are talking about, your heart does not forget them, because it is not in practicing them. The practice of the word does not come first. I, the Lord, test the heart. To do what? To give every man according to his ways, one, and to give every man according to his doing. The doings of the things of God happen in the heart first. The practice of the word happens in the heart first before it is manifested physically. The same way God created. He created. He called them. He said, let there be. Let there be, and there was. 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 Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, day six. And then it takes 6,000 years for everything that he called out to be. And that's why he said, let there be fish of the sea. And now there are million species of fish, because a day for the Lord is like what? It's like what? You copy that? So when you read scripture and you read it from a perspective of chronology and the time that we are in, it messes you up. It messes a lot of things for you to understand. It really destroys. It does not help. So for the length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. What adds the length of days and gives long life? And in that long life, peace comes with it. What happens? What does? What does? It is the law kept in the heart. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of who? In the sight of God and man. So how do we guard our hearts? Come on. It's a very simple thing. Don't overthink. It's just that. You guard your heart by keeping his law. What happens when you keep his law in your heart, then you have dethroned yourself. Because the heart is the throne of who? Come on, the heart is the throne of who? Man. So your soul thrives. Your soul thrives depending. Either way, your soul will thrive depending on who is seated on the throne. Guard your heart by keeping the law. Then on mercy and truth forsake you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do what? Lean not on your own understanding. So there's what we keep. And I just say, you layer your heart with layers and layers and layers of what? Faith. Lean not on your own understanding. Again, understanding here is not your mind. I'm sorry, guys. We just say that the heart is the throne of man. So everything you do is a proceed of the posture of your heart. So when you trust God, you have dethroned yourself from the throne that you sit on, and the word and God begins to sit on the. But when you do not trust him, then the everything you begin to do comes from your. Why I say understanding here does not talk about the mind, is because I pray that God puts you in this position. Say amen. I pray that God puts you in this position. Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now that we are in one God. You see, God speaks to you, right? He tells you, take your rent and go give it to Vanessa. And the church says, okay. But that does not, it does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. Your rent is due, but it doesn't make sense. Okay? So, depending on who is seated on the throne of your heart, you see, you have received the word of God in your spirit. Take your rent, give it to Vanessa. On the 3rd of September, meaning agent or landlord comes on the 5th. So, depending on who's seated on the throne, then you make the decision. You make the decision. So itakuwa either I trust him, ama I lean on my understanding. My understanding is what? My understanding is what? My understanding is what? Rent is due. But if I give it to her, I have not leaned on, I have done what? I have trusted. I have trusted God. And then I wait to see. And even when he does not come on the 5th, because most of the time when we love Disney stories, happy endings, so we think when God tells you to give your rent on the 3rd, at the 11th hour he will show up. And when he does not show up, what we had done, trusting him, we stop doing what? And then what do? We begin to lean on our own understanding. And here, it's not when I put after rent. At God,
God alikwambia tu peana, hakuambia atakulipia rent. So utatafuta rent. That's not leaning on your own understanding. Leaning on your understanding is the fact that when he comes back tomorrow to tell you the same thing, you will not do it. You will not do it. My son, keep my law in your heart. So when the word of God comes, and the word of God will always come through your spirit, because your spirit has been rejuvenated. But what actualizes the word, what puts into practice the word, is who is seated on your throne. Who is the master of your heart? So guarding your heart. Stops becoming as simple as not listening to secular music. In the day you were in that phase of not listening to secular music, and you stopped, and you struggled and stopped, can you account for the guarding that you did? The reason we cannot fully account is because even when we stopped, though it was instruction, I believe, or it was motivation, or it was peer pressure, whatever it is, we did the stopping here and not here. Okay? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your what? So what is the secret to long life? The secret to long life is dethroning yourself. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. In another version, please.
Keep and guard your heart.
What version is that?
Okay. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life.
Message.
Keep vigilant, watch over your heart, that's where life starts.
That's where life starts.
Are you getting it? Are you getting it? When we receive salvation, what do we receive? What do we receive? What do we receive? When we receive salvation, what do we receive? Life. So, because our hearts have been saved, now you will understand this.
Can I go there?
Yes. Life and death are in the power of what? The tongue. And they that choose it shall eat the fruit of. They that choose life shall eat the fruit of it. Right? Guard your heart with all diligence. From out of it flows life. Verse 24.
Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you.
Put far away from you a deceitful mouth. A deceitful mouth. What is deceit? What is deceit? Lies. What is deceit? Lies. What is lies? Anything that speaks contrary to the word of God is a lie. So your mouth should constantly speak what? Truth, which is the word of God. That comes from where? From a guarded heart. And then Jesus tells them, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but rather what comes out. Because we only begin to speak whatever it is that we speak from the disposition or from the posture that our heart has taken. So life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that love life, they that love it, will eat the fruit. So how do you begin to speak? You don't begin to speak, I will live and not die. I will live and not die. I will live and not die. No, you begin to speak from a guarded heart, because it is out of your heart that springs life. So that when your mouth begins to speak, it speaks from the position of your heart. It does not matter how many times you decree you will live. If your heart is not guarded, then your words are what? Lies. They are deceitful. And when you come to prayer, what do we use to pray? Our mouth. Prayer happens in the heart. But what do we use to pray? Our mouth. So if the veil is not torn, if the veil is not broken, then whatever spews out of you in prayer is deceit. It is deceit. Even if you quote scriptures, it is deceit. Because it is a reflection. There's a scripture I had that really explains it so well. Let's finish with the prophet. 17:22. We'll come back to 4:23, okay? 17:22.
A manly heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit drives the bone.
Same concept. A manly heart does good. You see, all these things that, all these virtues that we read, joy, love, peace, kindness, zote zinaendawapi. Where do they all go? Where do they all come from? When you receive them, where do they go? The heart.
So what we need to do is resuscitate. 1, 2, 3, clear. Boom. I want you to look back honestly at your level of kindness. I want you to look back at your level of love. When we were, I've never said this, you forgive me, I will not become those people. Okay? Am I forgiven?
Yeah.
When we were in Egypt, we were told that when the king died, for him to move on to the next life, they would take their heart, put it on a measuring scale, on a scale. And if it weighed lighter than a feather, then he he now moved on to the afterlife and became fair. Meaning that if he was an evil king, his heart would outweigh the feather and he would not be accepted in the afterlife. If he was a good king, a kind king, then the feather would be heavier than his heart and he would be accepted in the afterlife. It's a myth. It's a story. A story about them. But you get what I'm saying. You get what I'm saying. Do you get what I'm saying? They are basically talking about the matters of the heart. Like only good people, only people whose hearts are kind, loving, can move on to the afterlife. And the kings would invest heavily in their afterlife. Even the pyramids that they built were to help them transcend into the afterlife. That's the story. What am I trying to tell you? That if it does not happen here, then it will not happen here. Okay? 10:8.
The wise in heart will receive command, but a prating fool will fall.
27:19.
As in water, face reflects face. So a man's heart reveals the man.
Another version.
Amplified. As in water, face answers to and reflects face. So the heart of man to man.
Message.
Just as water mirrors your face, so your face mirrors your heart.
Huh? So your face mirrors your heart. New Living Translation.
As the face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the person.
So the heart
reflects the person.
Reflects. Basically, ukijiangalia kwa kio. Oh. Ilikuwa tu hapo sasa. Ukijiangalia kwa kio na ujione, your heart reflects you. But we do not see your heart. How do we see your heart? How do we see your heart? How do we know the heart of a person?
By the things you do. By the things you do.
So if your heart has faith, then the things you do must be things of faith. We say that faith is what? Is action. Right? It's not believing, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. No. Faith is come to me. Come. Wale watu wa I believe watabaki hapo. Na wale watu wali take action ya come to me. Then we will see the evidence of faith in their life. Itakuwa 400, eh? Itakuwa 400 because of time. Itakuwa 400.
Because I think itakuwa 500. But now, itakuru mia kupenjeja 250 in half the time.
So, as water reflects the face of man, as a mirror reflects you when you look upon it, your heart reflects you. There are people, when they ask you for money and they say they will give it back to you, and you give it to them, you just give it to them, like, like, it's okay. Why? Their heart is doing a reflection. You know, hata rudisha, hawezi, unajua kipatia 500 rudisha after 2 years. Si 500, ni basically, hawezi rudisha. You understand? So you cannot. It is up to you to be vigilant in who you trust. Because their hearts reflect who they are.
It is only God who is a God of second chances. Eh?
But even when we give you a second chance,
I just had a deja vu. So real. Like these three people, you, I didn't see you, but the three I saw.
Even when you're giving people a second chance, you are not giving them a second chance filled with hope and faith that they will change. You're giving them a second chance so that they can have an opportunity to transform what? Their hearts. But when you give them a second chance, you know without a doubt. Until their hearts have been changed.
Finished Proverbs? That was Proverbs 27?
Yeah,
27. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter 3.
Do not let your adornments be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God.
Three and four. Yes.
Okay. Do not let your adornments be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
Okay. Peter is saying, your makeup is important. Right?
Right? Right? Your Jordans, your skinny jeans is important. The way you look is important. But do not let it be the only important thing. Because the adornment of the inner man, which is your heart, is more important to whom? To God. It's more important to God. The adornment of the inner man. Can we read it again?
Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden password.
No wonder you guys take time. You get it. Because the hair is arranged.
Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, mm-hmm. with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God.
Incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very important to God. Matthew 6:21.
For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. This scripture has been used to make people give. It works. It works. So, when we look at this scripture, with the scripture we've read before, now you understand why kukula fair is a thing. Why, now you understand why having a sponsor is a huge thing. Because what adornment is being done, the inner man is being neglected. But furthermore, the inner man is not being neglected when you look at things from how we've been talking about. It's just that the position of the hearts of men. So their outward beauty is where their heart is. Because your heart is where your treasure is. So I will make up myself, because my treasure is my outward appearance, because literally that's what gives me treasure. Like that makes sense. Like it's not that when you are lembo. It's not that ati mrembo anasumbua. Hapana. Hakuna. She is just a reflection of what? Of her heart. And these conversations are spewing into the church. And we know members of, we know our brethren who won't ask you for money, but won't date you because you don't have it. Like, you like it's the same. It's the same. I want a guy who's financially stable. Like, it's the same story. Born again, what do you want in a guy? He must be financially stable. Does it look like leaning on your own understanding? And no one wants to be financially stable to sustain the other one. Like, let's read Matthew 19 about clothes. Matthew 16, 19.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will
be. Matthew 16:19. Yes. 16:19. Yes. Procedures. 19:16.
Now behold, one came and said to him.
No, it's not that. Continue reading Matthew 16:19, 21:7.
And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Mm-hmm. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell.
Yeah. Yes.
Then he commanded his disciples that
they should tell. Matthew 6:19.
Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy it, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will be.
So, one of the other ways of guarding our hearts is constantly reminding ourselves of where our treasure is.
Matthew 6:19-21. Constantly reminding ourselves of where our treasure is. Because it gets so much into our heads with I've ever told you that our superheroes nowadays are millionaires and billionaires. Like there was an age where people admired superheroes. Like, it would be like a father who goes out to fend for his family and becomes a hero for his family would be a role model. Would be our father. Today, if your father does the same and he does not come back so that you can have that lunch at a 5-star hotel, then your dad is not anything. But as long as he makes the money, then he becomes the father.
It's because our focus on the treasures that we want has shifted. Amen.
Amen.
So that comes up. I think we'll continue. We'll have to continue with this next week. We're having our leaders meeting tomorrow. All right?